Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 16. We've talked about the call of salvation. We've talked about the call of discipleship. We've talked about the call to ministry. And I need to say a bit about that to clarify something. I always appreciate Peggy being here with me because after I'm done, she always says, "What a wonderful sermon, but..." And I need to hear that because I want to get everything, make sure everything's exactly understood. And last night I talked about men going into ministry. And when I was saying that, what I was thinking of the pastor office, the office of elder, the office of pastor, which I think, according to Scripture, is limited to men only. But let me just say this, too, that women, too, can be in full-time ministry, and this is happening all over the world now. It wasn't so common when I left for Hong Kong 30 years ago in the United States, but it's very common now, women being involved in different kinds of ministries, which the Bible, you know, would sanction and allow. And, you know, ministry to other women, ministry to children, counseling ministry, and many, many other kinds of ministries that women can do. And I just want to let you know I totally am with those things as well. And, of course, women have a very a powerful role in the Church of Jesus Christ all over the world. It's true in Hong Kong, and, of course, it's true here. And we all know that. And I hope that I wasn't misunderstood, because when I said that last night, I was talking about the ministry of a pastor or elder, which I think, you know, 1 Timothy chapter 2 makes it very clear that that should only be men. Now, today I want to talk about call to location. And this one doesn't sound so spiritual as call to salvation, call to discipleship, call to ministry. And we've seen how God is involved in guiding us in those three calls. But does God also guide us to location? I think that he does. And he definitely guided Paul and Silas and Timothy to a specific location here on the second missionary journey in Acts chapter 16. You know, Paul could have gone to Phrygia and preached the gospel there. No one had ever heard the gospel there. There were no churches in Phrygia as far as we know. Paul could have gone to Bithynia, which was another place, as far as we know, no Christians, no local churches yet. But God did not lead to those places, as we're going to read. Instead, he led Paul to go to Macedonia, to cross from Asia into Europe, and to plant the first church in Europe in the city of Philippi. We read in Acts chapter 16, verse 6, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. So he didn't preach the gospel in Asia yet either. And Asia was a very important place because the city of Ephesus was there, a very important city in the world at that time. But God did not lead Paul to go there yet. He led them to go there on the third missionary journey, but not the second one. Verse 7, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to go, allow them to go there. So they passed from Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia, standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And so what we see here is the Spirit of God leading Paul and his missionary team to a specific location. And God did it then, And I believe that God does it now. I trust that those of you who are in Weaverville right now, or living around Weaverville, coming to First Baptist Church in Weaverville, have been led by the Spirit of God to come to this church and to serve and to expand the kingdom of Christ in this area. I trust that you've been called to the location that you're in. It's possible that God may call some of you to another location someday, and that location may be in this area of Northern California, or it may be in a whole different area, another part of our country, or it may be in a different part of the world where God may lead you. But I believe that God leads people to location too. The Spirit of God led Paul and his team then. And the Spirit of God, I believe, leads people now as well. Let me continue the story. We go now to June 1979. And Peggy and I are living in the first house, and really the only house we've ever lived in Pittsburgh, California, a freestanding house. Usually we've lived in apartments or fourplexes or something, but we were actually living in a wonderful house that this Christian landlord provided us. And I was teaching at the Christian high school, teaching Bible and world history. And it was a tough life because teaching is never easy. You always have problem students that get on your nerves, and it's tough sometimes. But, you know, God was blessing. We had this wonderful three-bedroom house, and it only cost us $200 a month in rent back then. Our landlord was a Christian and was ministering to us through this very low rent. And so it was a very good life. And summer came along, and I was only paid a salary 10 months of the year teaching at the Christian school. And that we were supposed to use, you know, that salary for the 12 months of the year. But the salary was already pretty low. And so I realized that I needed to go, you know, find a summer job to get us through the summer. Thankfully, we had low rent. It wasn't too much trouble paying that. But we needed food as well for our family of three. And so I decided to go into my first business venture, which was a total failure. And what I decided to do is to put in these door viewers into people's homes. And what I did is I had this toolbox with my drill, and I bought a bunch of door viewers, and I went from door to door, you know, saying, "Lady, can I drill a hole in your door and put this door viewer in?" And these people, you know, didn't know me. And I think I sold about six of them. I think I walked about 30 miles, you know, carrying this, you know, 30-pound tool chest with me to make me look good. But that business just didn't work out at all. And so I started to work for Kelly Services, and they put me onto this job where I was dumping aluminum cans into a hopper at a recycling center. And loading the aluminum cans on the truck. And here I was, you know, in full-time ministry, graduate of Dallas Seminary. Here I was dumping aluminum cans onto a truck. And I thank God for that job. And I had a chance to witness to my boss, too. And I think that's why God gave me that job for a few weeks. But, you know, of course, I was saying, "Lord, you know, I'm happy to do this kind of work." And even though I would come home smelling like beer all the time, and I was happy even in that. And I enjoyed, you know, meeting people and all that. But I want to continue serving you in some way. And so that summer, I received a phone call right out of the blue. It was a man that I knew in seminary, and he was Chinese, and he was now an associate pastor at a Chinese church in Oakland. And he said, "Dave, our English-speaking pastor is going to take a vacation, and he's going to be gone for 3 weeks, And we were wondering if you could come and preach for us these 3 weeks. Do pulpit supply? And I must admit, first thing I thought of was the income, extra income that would be added, and that was nice. But I also said, well, here's an opportunity to minister to a group of people. I had never preached in a Chinese church before, and so I thanked the Lord for this opportunity. And so Peggy and I found the church. It was right in downtown Chinatown in Oakland on 8th Street. And they welcomed me. And this church has a very high regard for Dallas Seminary. And so they recognized that I was from Dallas Seminary. And they said, we're just honored to have you in our pulpit. And before I preached the first sermon, a man walked up to me and said, listen, you know, I'm the leader of the college group. We're called Souls for Christ. And we're having a retreat next week. And our speaker just canceled on us. And we're wondering if you could do that. Could you come and speak to our college group? And it's a three-day retreat, and you can bring your wife and little girl. That's fine. And we'll just have a great time. It was somewhere up in the Sierras. And I said, well, great, you know, that's wonderful. We'll be delighted to come to that, too. And during that summer, I preached the three times at the church. I spoke at the college retreat. And then they came to me and said, you know, we would love for you to stay here and serve here. Could you be, you know, think about becoming our assistant pastor? And I said, wow, that's wonderful, too. And I'm just having a great time. I've never had such a wonderful time with the people of God before as I'm having with you people here. But I already signed a contract to teach at Berean High School for another year. And so I can't come. He says, well, can you intern for the rest of the summer? And I said, sure, I'd be happy to. And so I no longer had to do the aluminum cans anymore. And I was employed by this church for the summer. And I started to build relationships with the college students. And I spoke to other groups as well. And it became very, very evident to me that God may have me working with Chinese people for the rest of my life. I really sensed that God had something for us here. Now, Peggy and I had already surrendered our lives to be missionaries. We had done that in Bible college. We, as individuals, before we were a couple, we both went forward at a missions conference and said if God ever led us to the mission field, we would be willing to go. And then in our local church in Martinez, we had a missions conference, and we sort of reconfirmed that desire that if God led us to the mission field, we would be willing to go. But actually, we did not have a place to go yet. When I first thought about the mission field, I said, well, where's the worst place in the world to go? That's probably where God will lead me. And so I heard about the country of Bangladesh, you know. Someone called it the armpit of the world, you know. You know, 90 million people living in a very small place and very dirty and just an awful place to live. And I said, that's probably where the Lord's going to call me. And, you know, Peggy and I were married. We'd been married then about 6-7 years. And so I go to Peggy and said, Lord, you know, could the Lord be leading us to Bangladesh? And Peggy just looked at me and she didn't say anything. And sometimes, you know what the answer is. And I felt that the Lord needed to lead both of us. And I just didn't have any idea. But as we started working in this Chinese church, we really sensed an affinity and sensed God's direction for our lives. And I thought, well, maybe the Lord, after I teach another year at Berean, maybe I can, you know, come back to this church in Oakland and start serving in this church. And that may be the place that God has for us. And after the summer was over, I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to leave these people. And so I went to work. I was working full-time at Berean and doing all the things I always did, teaching. It was a little easier because I had a couple of years under my belt and a lot of my curriculum was already developed and I had a little more time. And the church came to me and says, hey, we got a lot of our students at University of California at Berkeley, and we were wondering if you could go up there and train them in evangelism so they can evangelize other people on the campus. And so on Fridays, what I did is after I finished teaching school, I would zip on over to Berkeley on a volunteer basis because I loved doing it. I didn't want any money. And I trained some guys, and about 10 of the students there, in how to do evangelism and how to talk to people about the Lord. And we had some exciting witnessing opportunities with students there at Berkeley. And there we even found some that were open to receiving Christ. And it was really an exciting experience. Just about that time, and God's timing is always perfect, something else happened that started to push us towards Hong Kong. A missionary who had been serving in China before 1949 and who had been serving in Hong Kong for about 20 years, his name was Jay Morgan, his wife's name was Dorothy, they returned for retirement. And it just so happens the Lord led them to move into the same city where we lived, Pittsburgh, California. And Jay and Dorothy, they heard about me working at this Chinese church, and they were working at another Chinese church in the Bay Area there. And so they had us over for dinner, and they started talking to us about Hong Kong. And I remember Jay telling me, he said, Dave, they really need someone like you in Hong Kong to work in the seminary, teach Greek, teach theology. They need someone desperately, just like you. And so we had God's direction. Notice that God didn't speak to me in an audible voice. I didn't look up at the clouds and I didn't see the words Hong Kong written on the clouds or something like that. But what God did is he worked through circumstances and he gave Peggy and I peace. And we both were convinced, yeah, this was the Lord's leading for us. We started on the road then to Hong Kong. We applied to ABWE. But there was still a big hurdle. And that was, again, a family hurdle. Remember, Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you must love me more than mother and father, wife and children, brothers and sisters. You remember last night I talked about the call to ministry, and the person who sort of stood in the way for a while to the call to ministry was my dad. He just didn't think I could manage. But as we thought about going to Hong Kong, guess who was the one who didn't like the idea? It was my mom. Because by then we had two lovely granddaughters. And when I told my mom that we sensed God's leading to go be missionaries in Hong Kong, she just started to cry. She said, you can't do this. Here, I've waited for you to come back from seminary. You've been here a few years now, and this has been wonderful. And she had a wonderful relationship with Peggy. She would take her out to lunch once a week, which was the high point of Peggy's week. And Mom just enjoyed the grandchildren. At that point, she only had three. And she says, how can you do this? You know, I think it's really important that we parents recognize that when God gives us children, they are on loan to us. And we should always think of it that way. We should never think that we should possess our children forever as long as they live and keep them. They must stay near us. I know some people who feel that way. I have a very close relative who thinks, and her goal is to have all her children right next to her, and she will not let them go, even though they're married now. And so I prayed, you know, I love my mother very much. But I had this tension. I really sensed the Lord's leading. And it took a long time for the Lord to work in my mother's heart. She was afraid of her grandchildren growing up in Hong Kong. She thought Hong Kong was a dirty place and crowded and that they were going to get stomped on or something, you know, living there. And it was going to be very, very difficult. But gradually, because my mom was a believer, the Spirit worked in her heart too. And after about a year, she was finally willing to let them go, let us go. I always was grateful for that. Mom was, after that, always very positive about our ministry in Hong Kong, even though I knew it was painful for her, for us to be away. It was painful for us too. But this is one of the things we have to bear as we serve God and follow Christ. And so my mom let go. It was wonderful that 1 year after we arrived in Hong Kong, Mom and another lady came out to visit us in Hong Kong for 2 weeks. And then Mom could see that our life wasn't so bad. And she could see that we were doing well, we were coping fine and dealing with the problems that were there, and we were fine. And she had a lot of peace after that. But I'm grateful for the Lord's leading. I'm grateful for a wife who has been so positive and supportive all these years we've lived in Hong Kong. I'm a Louis L'Amour fan. I read him at night when I don't feel like reading anything else. And he often talks about it, finding a woman to ride the river with. And the Lord has given me such a wife to ride the river with. And it is a river out there. Furlough is a river too sometimes. But we just sense God's hand of blessing and grace wherever we go. It's been a wonderful 30 years in Hong Kong, and we anticipate more years if God will give them to us. When we went to Hong Kong, the churches were very dependent on the missionaries. We had 14 missionaries in Hong Kong then. The missionaries were the pastors of the churches. They were doing everything, president of the Bible College. And we had very few Chinese leaders. But over the period of 30 years, I guess the thing that has been most fulfilling to me and most satisfying to me is to see gradually, one, you know, couple by couple, one by one, the missionaries all disappeared except for five of us. The five of us who are left, and three of us are getting up there now into retirement time. And to see now the ministry is much bigger than it ever was when the missionaries were in total control. And we missionaries are there in supportive roles. I'm still there to teach in the seminary. We have a couple there planting an intercultural church. We have others serving in Christian schools. But the ministry is huge now compared to what it used to be. But now there are just five missionaries there and not 14. But it just shows that it is God's grace working. And my goal is to see Hong Kong feel totally independent, where they don't need any missionaries at all. the couple that's planning the church right now, they're talking about going to Laos or Cambodia to another place. They're 15 years younger than us. And so it's possible there may not be any missionaries in Hong Kong at all in 10 years from now. But the exciting thing is God, because of his grace and as he has led us, not so much to be leaders who try to stay on top all the time, but to be leaders who are willing to step back and let the nationals take over and grow. We're just seeing great success for the glory of God. And we thank you for your prayers. I think God has given us wisdom to do this, and this wisdom comes as you pray for us as we face different situations. And it's just been a wonderful 30 years. And what I would remind you of is this. Our ministry is really partly the ministry of First Baptist Church of Weaverville. Of course, no one gets the glory but God. But your partnership with, your involvement in our ministry means that our ministry is your ministry. And we want to thank you again for your very faithful partnership. I would just like to close by challenging you to ask God, God, am I in the right location? Or do you have another location for me? You know, there are still countries in the world that have very few Christians. Many of these countries now, missionaries cannot go into those countries. Many of them are Muslim countries. But people are still dying in their sins and on their way to hell with no one to tell them about Christ. And the only way that Christians can get into those countries is to be business people or something like this and go in as businessmen with the intent of learning the language and sharing the gospel with people and maybe witnessing to key people who might be future leaders of a church in those countries. It can be a very dangerous ministry, but it's a ministry that God is leading people into now. And there are still many villages and cities in the world that do not have a gospel witness. There are still languages in which the Bible has not yet been translated, where people don't have an opportunity to read the Word of God at all. And so we as a church need to continue to be concerned about these things. Yes, we're making progress on the task of reaching the entire world for Jesus Christ. Certainly the internet has made it easier, but we still have much work to do, much praying, much giving, and yes, going too. And it may be that God will call others from the Church of Weaverville, as he's called Jerry, as he's called Nancy to serve with her husband Jim O'Dell, and as others, I'm sure, have gone out from this church, God may be leading others of you to this kind of ministry. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so very much for the time we've been able to spend here at this wonderful camp. We just pray for families today. Pray that you give them all a safe trip back to their homes later today. We also pray for your leading in each life here. Perhaps some still need to respond to the call of salvation. They need to put their faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and trust in him for salvation, for forgiveness of sin, because of the sacrifice he has made for all of us. And I pray that you would continue to work in hearts in that regard. I pray for others, Lord, who have already put their faith in you, but are not yet your disciples, who are still trying to live their own lives. And I just pray that you would help them to love you and love your Son more than anyone else, including themselves, and to become your followers, your obedient followers in their daily lives. I pray too for those you may call into ministry. I pray that you would lead each person here to a ministry at First Baptist Church, where they are serving you effectively for your glory, using the gifts and abilities that you've given them. And then that you might lead some to be called into a full-time ministry, where they're serving you full-time and equipping other leaders and perhaps getting more education so that they can do that. And I just pray for your guidance in that regard. And then, Lord, we know it's painful for people to leave and go to another place. It hurts when our friends go somewhere, but we also know that you lead to other locations sometime. And I just pray for individuals and couples in this church. You have a ministry for them in another place, and you want them there and not here. I just pray that you would lead and guide according to your will, just as you led Peggy and me many years ago. Lord, I thank you that whether we're talking about salvation or discipleship or ministry or location, that your guidance is personal and that you care for each one of us and you deal with us, each one of us, in grace and in love. And when you lead us, you also provide for us so magnificently. And we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.